Take out the Word of God with me and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the back of your order of worship. We began with the first five verses last week, and they were rich. So it makes tonight a little bit shocking. You see, Jesus has sent Paul. Paul knows deeply in this relationship what Jesus has saved him from. Paul, who was destroying the church, and Jesus has shown him grace and mercy and saved him and sent him, and sent him to suffer for the Gentiles, we're told. He knows deeply the transforming power of Christ, and he knows that he is to tell others that God has sent his Son into the world to save sinners. He's a ransom for sinners, and there is nothing better than what Paul gets to tell people. There's no better news. It's the best news that we can possibly have. What could replace it? That's the shock tonight as Paul begins in verse 6. Let me pray before we read. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word, its life, its truth. We thank you for the gospel. Such good news for sinners, for rebels, for enemies of God. We thank you that it's your will, O God, to save sinners. And by your will, you have sent your Son to suffer and to die and to bear our sins upon himself in our stead. We thank you that this is ours merely by gift, by grace, that we might have peace. Lord, I pray for that peace to descend upon us tonight, that if there be any that do not know Christ in this manner, that they would know Christ is indeed the best news that has ever happened. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and pray that as it's preached, that you would speak to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beginning with verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is God's word for his people. Amen? Amen. In a world that offers options, we are a bit spoiled. I mean, go to Amazon for any one product you type in, there's how many choices, right? Or even churches. Drive down Franklin Road and you're going to pass probably 10 churches in a 5-mile stretch. There are churches that curate to the perceived needs of just about anyone, and we like options. Not all options are wrong options. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is only one option. There is no other gospel. So we're going to look at two things tonight. One, the condition of the human heart. The condition of the human heart. And two, seeking the approval of God. First, the condition of the human heart. I'm a little bit afraid that I'm becoming my parents. You know, some of these things slowly show up. I talk about the weather a lot more than I used to. The things that I like to watch on TV. The Antique Roadshow. I can almost sense my kids groaning because when I stop on it, they say out loud, "No, anything but the Antique Roadshow." I love it because people believe that they have a treasure. And they come along with this treasure, you know, probably a treasure that the kids aren't allowed to touch it, right? Or when someone comes over to your house, you go, you got to come see this. We had one in my house. I think I've told this story here. If I have, I'm sorry. We had a chair. Betsy Ross is my great, 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 great grandmother. I don't know how many greats, but there was a chair in the house and you couldn't touch it. You couldn't sit on it. It was Betsy Ross's chair. For all we knew, she sewed the American flag in it. Well, they took this chair to the Antique Roadshow. You know, this was going to be the thing that kept my family sustained for years financially. It wasn't even from the right era. They peeled it back, and there's some fabric on there that wasn't even close. Crushed. My parents put that chair in the garage. It was a counterfeit. It wasn't what they thought it was. Paul's opening address to the Galatians highlighted and reoriented the Galatians in this letter that's going to be stern to the best news ever delivered to mankind. Grace and peace has come to you through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God. It's a reminder that salvation rests in God alone, through Christ alone, and is received by faith alone. It's the pure, unchanging gospel. It is authentic. Everything else taught is held against it. Whatever may be different culturally between us and ancient Galatia, the need of salvation and the means of salvation has never changed. It is as timeless as God himself. And yet it is a message that is under constant attack and scrutiny through the age of the church. It is simple and it's clear. And no sooner had Paul left Galatia that he gets probably a letter delivered to him, this beloved church that he has almost been stoned building up in the area of Galatia, he's been run out of cities, has turned away, begun to flounder, because rising up in the church is a distorted gospel, a counterfeit. Did you know this? That the church is always one generation away from apostasy. That includes all saints. While your pastors and elders are committed to the true gospel, what of the next generation? What of you that sat on the front row? The gospel, the young ones, the gospel never changes. The church has foundational principles that it must cling to be of any use to God. And having laid out those principles in verses 3 through 5, Paul is astonished. Verse 6, he is astonished how quickly the church has deserted the gospel of grace to adopt a different gospel. This is Exhibit A of how fickle the human heart is. The human heart forgets. It wanders. It is deceptive above all, like the old hymn goes. Let thy grace now, like a fetter. You know what a fetter is? You're chained to it. Bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. The human heart is always looking to cling to something better. You do it with everyday objects. You know it by the advertising at Christmas, the new and the improved, but when it comes to the gospel, there is no improvement, no different gospel, as Paul says in verse 7. And seeking to add any improvement to the gospel by adding works or cultural flair is desertion of Christ and is accursed. Take a lesson from Israel. Beneath the mountain, having been set free from Egypt, the mountain that's burning, they're not allowed to go up. Moses is up there. We can't touch the mountain or we die. So what do? They begin to fashion beneath the mountain a god with their own hands. They want to worship. They fashion a god with their own hands sprinkle in a little cultural Egyptian flair to their new god, something their hands could add to, and they seek to add to their already accomplished salvation. In Galatia, that's what's happening. Jewish Christians are telling these Gentile believers that in order to be saved, they must believe in Christ and submit themselves once again to the law of Moses and to circumcision, a law that's been a curse. They've convinced them somehow, if you want to truly be a Christian, you have to look like us. What is the gospel of grace that they are abandoning? What's Paul so hot about? Well, grace isn't earned. It isn't deserved. It is given as a gift. But they're seeking to add to the gift as if it wasn't enough. And Paul is astonished that such a gift could be deserted. Have you ever been astonished how quickly your heart can turn? I mean, even to a different gospel. Ever found yourself maybe repenting in some time of some particular sin? And there's a part of you, this happens to me, inwardly it says, I've got to do something to make this real. I've got to somehow earn some of that love back. I've got to serve in such a way, or I know there's no other blessing coming in the day unless I do something to reconcile myself with the Lord because I sinned against Him. That's an addition. That's an addition to the gospel. The gospel is a free gift. We don't add to it. Forgetting the means by which we are saved. And Paul, he sees that happening for the Galatians, and he's upset, and he's responding quickly because he sees there's a great danger in that. Abandonment and apostasy from the gospel is usually not abrupt. It's usually in these small increments that don't seem so dangerous to the heart. For the Galatians, there seemed little danger in believing their Jewish counterparts. These Judaizers, as they're called, wouldn't deny the necessity of believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's absolutely necessary to believe. But then to this they add the works of the law. So you can imagine the Galatians scratching their head going, I don't know. These guys have known about this God far longer than we have. It sounds right. It seems right. In the modern church today, by small increments, the gospel is abandoned. By small increments, it's replaced with grace, is replaced with performance, where the gospel is defined as a feeling rather than truth. Experience becomes the driving motive. If I don't feel anything, could this be the gospel? And then there's this ever-present pressure of cultural norms. Do we really need to talk about sin so much? You know, that's no way to gather a group around you, is to always talk about how awful you are. The human heart can be pulled in so many different directions that the gospel gets watered down and added to or completely abolished. Some modern day examples are Jesus plus my authenticity, or Jesus plus my good parenting, or Jesus plus spiritual experience, or Jesus plus political allegiance. Any plus added to Jesus is not the gospel. Ritual, moral effort or spiritual achievement is a subtraction if added as a means by which we are saved. You see, at astonishing speed, grace can be forgotten. Though Paul's concern is who and what they are listening to, he doesn't leave it as just the leaders who are responsible. He's talking to the Galatian church. Brothers and sisters, you are responsible for what you hear and what you believe. Yes, it's important to have elders and pastors who preach the true gospel, but you are responsible for what goes into your ears, what you believe, what gets seated in your heart to understand what is true. You must know truth and follow it. We must believe the pure gospel, even if an angel was to appear in this room and tell you something different. This is what Paul says. Even if an angel was, may he be accursed. There is one gospel. Satan works in counterfeits instead of open denial. It means be careful in your homes that you don't teach works righteousness to your children. Be careful that you don't add human merit to your salvation. Be careful that you don't weigh your performance against the promise of Jesus to love you. Justification is by faith alone. The condition of the human heart needs it most. So Paul turns now to our last point, seeking the approval of God. Verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." You see, at the end of the day, we just want to be liked, don't we? You want to be liked. And the gospel is a challenging message. It demands that we admit some pretty dark things about ourselves. It's like being naked. Our hearts are exposed. But our ultimate care should not be what man thinks. What does God approve of? At the end of all things, it doesn't matter what man thought of you, but it will be God that we give answer to. Finally, when we stand before Him, we won't have some committee of men or our best friends around us going, "Wait till you get to know this guy." We will stand alone to hear from Him on what He approves. And as much as we want to be people pleasers, we must decide who it is and ultimately who we want to please and to whom we must give account. And Paul has this unwavering commitment that for him to serve Christ is to deliver and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ without reserve, without change. But sure of this, because of the condition of the human heart, sharing the gospel may cost you your reputation. It may mean your neighbors don't come out and check the mail ever again at the same time as you. It may mean friend groups in your high schools, in your colleges, wherever you find yourself, that you are too strange, that you don't get invited to things, or people don't want to hear another Bible-thumping person tell them about this good news that I'm so wicked. I mean, my own father-in-law, Jewish, when he became a believer, was rejected by his family. That's the cost sometimes. No one likes to be called a sinner. No one likes to have their self-autonomy taken from them. Human pride doesn't like to hear that you are incapable of saving yourself. And our hubris balks at the need to bend the knee to another. Paul's going to bear the scars, the imprisonment, the persecution, even lose his life for the sake of the gospel. And he writes now what is the harshest of his letters because he loves so deeply those under his care that he will not let them believe a different gospel. Luther loved Galatians. If you want something rich to read Luther's commentary on Galatians. He says, "This is not preaching that gains favor for men or from the world. For the world finds nothing more irritating and intolerable than hearing its wisdom and righteousness, religion, and power condemned. For we denounce men and all their efforts. It is inevitable that we quickly encounter bitter hatred, persecution, excommunication, condemnation, and execution. It's very real today. The same thing that he faced back then, the assault on the true gospel." Luther, who stands so profoundly affected by this book, was willing to stand in front of a tribunal that would have him put to death and recant if you don't. Recant or you will be put to death. And he says, here I stand, I can do no other. He would rather be found acceptable in the eyes of God than in the eyes of man. College students, high school students, middle schoolers, you are going to run into this as you go into the world. The gospel is under assault. You're the next generation carrying the gospel. You may hear it redefined. Love is more inclusive than your closed-minded church taught you. The way to God is more inclusive than Jesus' statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It will be a temptation. Everything in you will want to be included. You'll want to soften. You'll want to integrate. It's not a hypothetical. You will face it, and you must decide whose approval are you seeking. Let me ask this question. What makes you acceptable to God? What does He approve of? Why does God love you? It isn't the traditions that you adopt or the things that you do or the rules that you follow. God loves you because He loves His Son. It's why He loves us. He loves His own Son. And anyone that believes in Christ is in His Son, is in Christ. So that when God looks at you, He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus' perfect obedience. He sees Jesus' deliverance by His blood for your sins. So that when you turn to peer into the mirror to take a good, deep look at yourself, yes, and see how woefully sinful you are, He wants you to see Christ. You look in the mirror and all you see is shame, and you see your past that makes you seem unlovable. You are to remember that Christ has covered all of that by His precious blood and delivered you into God's family. He gave Himself, it says, for our sins and delivered us from this present evil age. It is finished and it is accomplished. Amen? Believe that. It never changes. And nothing more is required to receive it. So when you find yourself seeking the approval of man, ask why. If you were to take stock of how well you are doing, it will never give you the assurance that is found in Jesus Christ. But look to Christ alone for justification and acceptance, and you will never doubt again. Paul's begging them, keep your eyes on Christ. Are you approved by God? A couple questions. Where have you begun to rely on yourself instead of Christ? Where have I added things to my salvation in order to be approved by God? Is there any counterfeits present in the gospel you are believing? Things like performance or politics or therapy, tribalism, or legalism, or cultural libertinism? Do you know a false gospel when you hear it? Where have you drifted from grace to believe the gospel needs an addition? Is there anything in Christ's sacrificial atonement that seems insufficient to save you? Do you doubt God loves you and knows you intimately? Do you really believe that because of Christ, your position in heaven is settled? The pure gospel offers you grace, and it offers you peace, and offers you promises that you can rest on and assurances that are yours from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, based on one unchanging reality. He gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God. And if you want to find yourself adding any but to that. Christ, and do not. You're making it more difficult than it needs to be. Submit yourselves to Christ. Become a servant of Christ. And this is the only way to be approved by God, because he approves of his Son. It's a timeless message. There is one gospel, by grace alone, to be guarded fiercely and believed personally. Though man may disapprove, God approves this message. Know this. You can't make God's love grow any more for you, and you can't make it diminish any lower. He loves you completely and fully in Jesus Christ and in what Jesus has accomplished in your stead. Amen. Let's pray.